Fantasy Edge with Jonathan Chan, Kevin Kuo, Richard Seville.
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Edge. I am Richard Seville of FantasySixPack.net, and joining me shortly will be Kevin Hole, also of FantasySixPack.net. Escaping the wrath this week is Jonathan Chan. I wanted to say something about Jonathan. He's moving on up. You know how we have a moving on up segment. He wrote his first article for TSN, which is the sports network up in Canada. It's sort of Canada's version of ESPN. So congrats to him. Nice little article. I'll put a link up for if anybody of our listeners who want to read his first ever article. But he's not with us tonight. But Kevin is. Hi, Kev. How's it going, man?
What's going on, Richard? I hope you've advanced in your playoffs or just come off a satisfying bye. And I hope all our listeners have had the same.
I am coming off a satisfying bye. Everybody looks good. Nobody got hurt. I think that's one thing. When you're in a bye week, you just hope that nobody gets hurt, because then you know, it makes your following week not too pleasant. And that's kind of like for people with Mike Evans or Marvin Jones or some of the other guys that just fell off. Rashad Penny, of course, is gone now, and lots of guys injured right at the gate. So, in fact, in our Fantasy Six Pack League, Rashad Penny went down and it lost the playoff matchup, between the matchup of two people who I'm going to be playing this week. So, but I'd rather be in a big league like you are. It must be fun still being in the Scott Fishbowl. How do you like your chances in there?
Yeah, I just snuck in top 10 in your conference advance, and I finished 10th by about 5 points, and I'm pretty satisfied with that. I had to make some pretty bold moves just to get in. Went with Jacoby Brissett over Kyler Murray, and then I went with Ian Thomas over, I think, like Bo Scarborough and some other Latavius Murray. Worked out for me. I don't know how my chances are, to be honest. It's kind of weird. This one is top. It's just the top score out of all these 10. All these guys have stacked teams by now. So it's, you know, just hope my guys come through.
Now, when you're playing up against teams that also have players that you have as well, right?
Yep. I think at least three guys in my league have Christian McCaffrey as well.
Not helpful, and he's due for a touchdown explosion. He hasn't had one for a while, and people have been riding him for the yardage and receptions lately. So
yeah.
So he's kind of due for some touchdowns. But we'll be talking about his matchup with the Seahawks a little bit later. But first, let's get into the news, Kev. Let's talk about Spygate 2.0. Now this is the story. The Patriots, what they did is that they videoed a crew that were associated with the Patriots went over and they videoed the Bengals sideline. It was only about 10 minutes long or something like that. But apparently it's against the rules to do this. And the crew said they were just doing it for scouting purposes or something like that, or so, like, it was kind of like almost like a team, you know, public service type of thing. That was their excuse. But, well, anyways, they've been caught. And so now it kind of dredges up this whole thing, like with the things the Patriots have done in the past, like back in 2015, you know, Spygate 1 was kind of controversial, similar thing. And then, of course, you had the deflated footballs and all that stuff with the Colts and stuff. So, Kev, I think they got fined $250,000 for, all told, it was nearly $1 million the team got charged with. So, what do you think is happening with this, and how is it going to go forward, or what are they going to do to the team if this is, I mean, because this would be a second violation. So if this does balloon into something bad, what do you think the league will do? Or do you have any?
I mean, to be honest, I like to clown the Patriots as much as anyone else, but this is a non-story to me. Like, this is just such an obvious, like, it's such a big mistake, or like such an obvious mistake, that I can't imagine that they did it on purpose. And from the explanation we got, like, it's part of a mini series that they do like every week. It just happened that you know, it's not related to the football ops at all. So, you know, I'm willing. I know it's hard to give the Patriots the benefit of the doubt because they're the Patriots, but I think you kind of have to. I don't think Belichick is stupid enough to. If he's going to cheat, he's not going to cheat this way, especially after being dinged so many times in the past. I think this is a non-story. It's fun to make jokes, and I will make jokes. I've already made jokes, but I can't imagine it's really going to end up in some kind of punishment.
No, I think there is some validity. I mean, after all, it was only like 10 minutes. And I mean, what are they filming? What are they going to get out of it? Nothing. It's against the rules, yes. But it's I don't know if it's a – I don't think – like you say, I don't think it's a purposeful misstep. But
right. I think that's why – I think a fine is enough. I don't think that you're going to – like we're talking draft picks or anything like that. I think you just give them a fine and get it over with.
But you see a lot of people are saying like, oh, yeah, they just happened to get caught this time. You know, what have they been doing all season? You know, because it is just the Bengals and, you know, the Bengals are scraping the bottom of the barrel. They're in the running for first round draft pick. So I don't know. The Patriots, really, they're good enough to beat the Bengals. Although their offense really sucks and they've really sunk in the power rankings on various sites that do that measure. So I don't know how this is going to shake out, but that doesn't bode well for them going into the playoffs. And of course, naturally, it just gives fans who aren't quite in the know, who just read the headline without reading the story in full, gives them just some extra, you know, voice for booing the Patriots when they come on the field. So yeah, I don't know. Patriots are in trouble anyway. They got other things to worry about than.
Yeah, I think the more important thing is the fact that they suck. I think if Jonathan was on the pod, I think he'd tell you the same thing. The offense sucks. The defense can only take them so far. That's a way bigger problem probably to most Patriots fans than, you know, Spygate 2.0, as you called it.
Yeah. Marcus Davenport out. The Saints, he's kind of a major player for the Saints pass rush. And for him being out, are we looking at this puts a big dent in the Saints for the players. This is really not really a fantasy story, but I thought I'd bring it up anyway because the Saints defense had been looking quite good in recent weeks, but Marcus Davenport out, they take a big hit here for their defense.
Yeah, the defense was, like you said, it's a good defense, but it's, you know, scorable on, as we saw the Niners do. I know the Niners are a good team, but I wouldn't say their offense is top tier. I would say, like, but in the beginning of the season, the Saints were really good, but, you know, the defense has kind of faded towards the end of the season. They allow the 10th most points to quarterbacks. They allow the 3rd most points to wide receivers. They allow the one place that they do okay in is, they allow the 4th least points to running backs. So I'm not scared of the Saints defense at all. I think they play the Colts this week. And I think, you know, even without T.Y. Hillen out there, I think a lot of the Colts guys will probably find some success.
Yeah. Jerry Jones defends his GM role. He's been the de facto general manager for the Cowboys for 30 years. And now we know probably Jason Garrett gets fired. I mean, if he doesn't make the playoffs, if the Eagles somehow beat the Cowboys for the Sweat Hog division, he's definitely out. But he definitely Jason Garrett will be fired even if he wins the wild card round, which they're relegated to. They're going to be in the wild card round no matter what. But some claim Will McClay is the actual GM all these years. He's the director of player personnel on the Cowboys. I think that carries a lot of weight because I don't think Jerry Jones could make all the moves that the Cowboys have made in recent weeks. But to tell you the truth, though, some of the moves the Cowboys make, they got a lot of drug addicts and a lot of guys with personality problems. You know, you can look at a number of players: Dez Bryant, Julius Randle. I don't think DeMarcus Ware had issues, but I don't know, Kev. The Cowboys. Do you think Jerry Jones is he just a figurehead GM, or is he the GM, or how does it, do you think the Cowboys, it's systemic starting with Jones more than Garrett?
Yeah, I mean, it's always like one of those things that you always hear is the problem starts at the top, like with the Knicks, like it's almost whoever they hire. the problem is James Dolan. Jerry's not as bad, but I think he is part of the problem. Like from his, first of all, just his unwillingness to fire Jason Garrett. Like that's his problem. That's not Jason Garrett's problem. I would say I wouldn't be surprised if someone else was pulling the strings, like acting as the GM, but we all know Jerry has final decision when it comes to things like this. So, you know, that if you call a guy a shadow GM, but Jerry Jones still calls all the shots, I'm not sure really how much that matters.
Right. A couple of injuries to talk about. Marvin Jones on IR. That leaves Galladay with, I don't think it changes Galladay's targets, but I think it makes targets for who, Kev?
Galladay, like you said, Hawkinson was a guy who was popular week one, but kind of disappeared. I could see more targets going his way, but the guy I'm really looking for is Danny Amendola. For like a young quarterback like David Blau, like you're looking for those easy completions. And I think they're going to be a negative game script again this week. Who are they facing?
They're finishing
the Bucks. Well, maybe not negative, but, the Bucks run the ball, or they defend the run really well. So I could see, a situation where they need to, you know, pass the ball a lot. So, you know, obviously Marvin Jones is a big part of that offense, but I think they do have some pieces that can make up for it.
And the other big one is Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon Jeffrey, I don't know. I think he's in decline anyway. I think he's 29, and he's already starting to his fantasy value is going to be very short next year when he returns. But as for the now, I mean, we got White. Forget the first part, but I know the last name, Whiteside.
They've got J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Six
career catches, and Greg Ward, who has 7 career catches.
Yeah, and Nelson Agholor's banged up. Don't know if he's going to be ready. I mean, if Nelson Agholor's your best receiver, you're in trouble. I mean, not that Agholor's, you know, decent, but for Agholor to have any kind of success, he can't succeed as the number one. He can succeed as a number two, because I don't think Agholor can handle top flight coverage.
No, he's not a prototypical one. He's more of a floor stretch or a field stretching too.
Yeah. So we'll. I don't know if there's any Eagles that you want to pick up. What about Ward?
I mean, I'm not. If you're in the playoffs, I'm not really willing to take that shot. In DFS, like he might be worth a shot, but I'd probably even go with Arcega-Whiteside. Just go with the draft capital lean there. The one guy who does get a bump is Dallas Goedert. Ertz is going to be there, but you know Goddard, of course, is just going to step into more minutes, more touches, that kind of thing.
Right. A lot of people had to go with Ty Montgomery and the old standby Bilal Powell primarily, because Le'Veon Bell went bowling midnight on a Saturday night. Apparently, he had the flu, but he went bowling. I know that getting pounded by 250 to 300 pound guys is a lot different than bowling. But if it's late at night and you're out bowling with friends and family, does that show that you really, you know, care? I mean, or is this another tempest in a teapot sort of thing?
Tempest in a teapot? What does that mean?
Well, that means it's a mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah, I tend to think it's that kind of thing. I mean, he's speaking as someone who's his age, which is actually crazy to me. I always tend to think he's a little older, but if you know, he was declared out, I think on, I don't know, pretty early in the week, right?
Yeah.
So I guess if you're not gonna play, like I think you get a little more leeway there. I wonder if, you know, it wasn't even his decision to not play, if that comes into effect, if the team kind of, you know, not forced him to sit, but you know, told him like, hey, you know, we're going to give you a rest break this week. And, you know, I can't really blame the guy for being declared out and going bowling with his friends on a Saturday night. Like, you know, it'd be like if you knew you had the day off of work the next day, going out the night before. I mean, is that really that crazy?
Well, in a way it kind of is, because, well, let's face it, you're out bowling. What do you do when you go bowling? You have beers and drinks and everything, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you do when you go bowling, especially bowling at midnight. And most people go bowling at midnight because there's a lot of league bowling that goes on during the evenings. So that's when league bowlings have like their competitions and everything going on in the evening. So that's why most people bowl at, you know, god awful hours. So, cause that's the only time the lanes are, available to the public and stuff. So, anyways, well, I'll have a little bit more to say about Le'Veon Bell later. But let's get on to some of the games coming up. Well, Thursday night tomorrow, Jets at Ravens. Now, it's a short week, and apparently Lamar Jackson is a little bit dinged up, but he says he'll be ready to play. I think it's still going to be a walk for him. I think he returns and has a big week. He didn't make the top 10 for the first time in weeks last week, which is kind of unfortunate for people who own him and were hoping for a good start to their playoffs. And
yep. Still scored 3 touchdowns though.
Yep. Yeah, he did well. Yeah, he just finished outside the top 10, so it's no big deal.
He didn't add a lot of rushing stats, and that's what you kind of wanted from him.
Yeah. Not much to say about this game, except that I do think it'll be Ravens will get on track. There are not a lot of big stats came out from the Ravens against the Bills, because the Bills pretty tough defense. The problem with the Bills, of course, is their offense, and so. The Ravens, yeah, they were in tough against the Bills. So I think everybody sort of knew that there would be, you sort of had to temper expectations with Lamar Jackson. So, cause it was, you know, the Bills are pretty stingy. So, the Jets are sort of stingy too, though, Kev. They could have their hands full, cause the Jets are in, spoiler mode. So, but playing the Ravens at home, I think it's a bit of a walk for your favorite team.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Jets. Their stats look okay. They give up the 14th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, but they've played a lot of bad ones, especially in the last 3 weeks where their stats look the best. I'm not worried at all. I think, both teams are going to come in with, not much prep. And I think that really favors the Ravens because I think the team is just that much better.
Who do you like on the Jets for receiving? Do you think Robbie Anderson is a player to own? Is he startable in your fantasy semifinal?
I would say no. I think the Ravens really do a good job of taking away wide receivers. They've got a talented trio of cornerbacks. Jimmy Smith, Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, and then Brandon Carr even as a fourth cornerback is, I don't know, probably one of the best fourth cornerbacks in the league. That being said, Marcus Peters does tend to be hit or miss. He makes some mistakes. So there's a situation where I could see Robbie Anderson getting loose for a touchdown. But I don't know. I don't think it's worth it.
Speaking of the Bills, who fell to the Ravens last week, they go and visit the Steelers. The Steelers obviously have a hot defense right now. So I think the Bills will be in tough once again, especially playing the Steelers at home. I like the Bills, but I think they're past their peak this season. I think they're starting to, I think they're starting to trend down just slightly. I'm not saying just because they're off the Ravens game and they had that convincing win against the Cowboys, but and I will say this about their game against the Cowboys. They actually put the Cowboys away, but for some reason, they just don't have that. They're just not quite into that level of, they're just shy of getting into that elite status, I think.
I gained a lot of respect for the Bills watching them this week. Like, their defense is very disciplined. They play Josh Allen he puts up great numbers and he's really talented. That being said, he's not exactly a guy who's going to go out and win a game for you. But they don't really need him to be that kind of guy. I think he's good in the role they ask him to play. And he's explosive. He's a playmaker. That being said, I don't particularly agree with the fact that they're on the decline. I think they're still a good football team. I think they're legit. It's going to be like an ugly game this weekend though. Cause I think the Steelers defense is really good. I think the Bills defense is really good. This game is going to finish something like 14-10 or something like that. And it's going to be ugly for pretty much every fantasy player involved.
Yeah. You can't really start any, there's really no good starters except perhaps, the running backs, but, nobody wants to start Benny Snell. James Conner apparently is supposed to be back. Juju Smith-Schuster supposed to be coming back. For the Bills, I don't think you really can start anybody. You might be able to, if you're in half PPR, maybe Cole Beasley in the flex. But as for Devin Singletary, as long as Frank Gore is in that backfield, I really don't think Devin Singletary can shine. I think next year Devin Singletary will be, I don't think he'll be exactly drafted as an RB1. He'll be drafted as probably a mid to high RB2, but But he's looking up. He's definitely looked up, and I think he's going to have the Bills job next season. But as for starting him this week, he's probably the best of the Bills. He might be the best fantasy player of the game in total. So I can't think of any other player that I would in this game that I would start that I would think would have the most fantasy points. I think it'd probably be him. Apart from quarterbacks, of course, they always tend to get something more. But anyways, Broncos at Chiefs. This is quite an important game for the Chiefs. They want to keep advancing toward. They have a chance for a bye week, so they want to keep winning. This I like Drew Lock, Kev. I think Drew Lock's a good quarterback, and I think he'll have a good game again against the Chiefs.
Yeah, Drew Lock can play. It's hard to say anything other than that. Like, he makes big time throws. He's just mobile enough. He doesn't seem like he's, you know, the moment is too big for him. I actually really like Drew Lock. I think this game has sneaky shootout potential with, you know, what I've seen from the Broncos offense in the last couple of weeks. What do you think?
I do. I completely agree. I think this is one of those games. This is, of course, depending on the weather. I mean, it gets cold and windy in Kansas City, so I don't know what the weather will be like in Kansas City, but it should be good. Should be a good game. I don't think there's any snow or anything going to happen, but it does kind of depend. It was windy last time. It didn't seem to affect anything in the Chiefs game. So on the other side of the Chiefs, this has really annoyed me because I was a big booster of Darwin Thompson, and I actually like McCoy maybe even a little bit more, but Andy Reid gets Spencer Ware in there, and he gets 28 snaps, and McCoy got 22 snaps, and Darwin Thompson got 18. How do you just get a guy off the street who plays? I mean, he got a total of 2 yards. Spencer Ware got a total of 2 yards. As basically just comes off the street and he's a bell cow. What's going on, Kev? I think this is a backfield you just got to stay away from. Even in your playoffs, you can't risk, not in fantasy playoffs. You just can't risk any Chiefs in this, especially in a high powered offense like this. It's a waste.
Yeah. In the one league that I did the worst in, I drafted Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy, and that tanked my whole season. So since like week 5, I've been out on the Chiefs backfield. I just got the feeling that we weren't ever really going to get a good grip on it, and it turned out to bite some people. I know a couple people who are counting on McCoy to do something or counting on Darwin Thompson to do something. And yeah, like you said, Andy Reid he's the new Belichick. It's just too unpredictable with his running backs. I wouldn't really touch any of them in week 15.
I still think you hang on to Darwin Thompson just to see what happens, but he is, if you did pick him up last week, you can drop him, but you can also, if you want to, you can stash him for another week to see if he gets more carries. But one thing I've noticed about Reed, and he did this with Travis Kelce in his rookie year too, is that he didn't subtly make Travis Kelce a major part of the offense until near. That's the problem with Andy Reid. He's always a next year thinker coach. He doesn't think for the moment. That's why the Chiefs never go anywhere, because they're always thinking for next year, which is kind of silly. Whereas I see on other teams, a rookie running back, they get him out there. They get the kid out there. You know, right? I mean, look at Bo Scarborough. Brought the, you know, undrafted rookie, right? Get him in there. Boom. Actually, I'm not sure if he's an undrafted rookie this year. He'll be undrafted second year. I forget.
Scarborough?
Yeah.
Undrafted second year, I
think. Undrafted second year. Yeah. So he's not a rookie. But, I mean, but you know what I'm talking about. There's other rookies that just come in and they just throw him out there and get, like, you know, Singletary, right? He played third fiddle. Like, okay, granted. Now, the Ravens aren't exactly checking out the Justice Hill out there, because I mean Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards are doing just fine. I mean, why change? You know, I can understand that situation, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So I mean, if Gus Edwards wasn't doing anything, or Mark Ingram was slowing up or anything like that, you know, if anything was like that was happening, you know, John Harbaugh would give Justice Hill the ball, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I've been harping on this for a while. I think a cheap running back is, you know, the way to build your team, basically. Like, I think giving a long-term running back contract, a huge running back contract to to any running back, no matter how good they are, is probably one of the worst things you can do from a team building standpoint, because it's just such a replaceable position. Like you said, there's so many young guys just coming in, doing, you know, just doing well enough that it's just replaceable, you know. And like you said, there's just so many guys in the league right now who deserve a shot, and for whatever reason, Andy Reid wants to go with Spencer Ware or LeSean McCoy. Like, I get it, they're trusted veterans, but you know, give the young guys a shot. Like, they've kind of demonstrated that they can do something.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, bottom line for this game, like we say, it is a high shootout potential. I expect a high over under for this. We'll see what that is. I haven't checked it out, but I will find out. And you can actually read that in my weekend preview for week 15 on Saturday. It comes out Saturday. Buccaneers at Lions. Now, I just briefly talked about Bo Scarborough. You know, Bo Scarborough, if you're in a standard league, not PPR, non-PPR, he's pretty steady flex starter for you. He hasn't been scoring touchdowns. He's very, I mean, because he just gets ground yardage. I mean, he had one reception last week, but that's something. He's a pretty interesting guy, actually. He played for the Crimson Tide, and he's actually from Tuscaloosa as well. So he's born and bred Crimson Tide kid, eh? So he's a pretty good player. I watching him make his moves and that, but he's kind of limited as a ground runner, a good ground runner though, but doesn't catch enough passes. It kind of limits his fantasy value.
Yeah, he is. I remember when he was in college, he was the backup to, I want to say, Derrick Henry. And I remember seeing a picture of Bo Scarborough next to Derrick, and he was big as hell. Bo Scarborough is huge. Like, if you look up his, I want to say he's like 6'2", like cut from stone, like 245, something ridiculous. If you look at any picture of him, like, if people thought that DJ Metcalf picture was impressive, like, this guy is a beast. He's 6'1", 236 listed. Yeah, he's a monster. So, you know, he's, like you said, he's a Bama guy. They only recruit talented guys. So, makes sense to me that he's worked out.
Yeah. But with, Marvin Jones out, for the Lions playing against the Buccaneers, we did already mentioned, you know, the rookie tight end, who is out. I think, isn't there a rookie tight end out for the season now?
Yeah, Hawkinson's out for the
Hawkinson's
season.
Hawkinson's out for the season. Right. So who are they left with now, Kev? Who can we start? Is there any, do we want to risk
I want to say they have Logan Thomas, the guy who used to be with the Cardinals. He's played quarterback, actually.
Right. David Blau, I think the film's out on him, and so now everybody knows how to handle him. I don't know who we could, like you said, Danny Amendola is the best guy. And that's actually not bad hands. I think Danny Amendola, if you want to put him in your flex for your week 15, you don't do bad doing that. I think you're right on him. He's a good.
No, I mean, it's not terrible. You're getting the half PPR points. Oh, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine. I think it's good. I mean, there's other guys you can take shots on besides Kenny Golladay, but for deep threat, I don't know who it is. I haven't looked at the depth chart. I got a depth chart right here. Why don't I take a quick look at the old depth chart for the Detroit Lions here, see who they got. See who we're looking at. Somebody I might have forgotten about, just to see if it, of course, everything takes a while. My slow computer. Wait a minute. Oh, here we go. No, we don't. Oh, here it is. Coming up slowly. So we got Danny Amendola. Chris Lacy. This is the guy. I wouldn't want to trust a no-name. Though, whenever you hear somebody like Chris Lacy, he's always the kind of guy that, you know, scores a big, huge, long touchdown like happened last week. A total no-name guy got the longest touchdown of the year last week. Forget the name. But
damn, it's impossible to say his name. It's the guy from the Falcons, right?
Yeah. So, but Chris Lacy, yeah, if you want to stick your neck out. But I think Chris Lacy's a guy. I think, you know, DFS, you might want to try a guy like that. You could get him cheap, I bet. So, there's a name for you, but you can't really start him. But I think Amendola, like you say, good sleeper, Amendola, good one. But Jameis Winston, he got a lot of yardage to make up for it, but he's still throwing these terrible interceptions. But you're still getting the fantasy points, I guess, which is the good thing. But with Mike Evans out, I guess, are we looking at O.J. Howard now?
Yeah, I mean, two people. I think O.J. Howard is the one guy who, it'd be funny if it came full circle. Everyone drafted him high, did nothing all season, and then in the last 2 weeks, he was everyone's savior. Another guy I'm pretty interested in is Justin Watson. He was the most targeted wide receiver after Evans went down. 6'1", Penn State, former Penn State receiver. Actually has very good combine numbers, good spark athlete. It's him or Breshad Perriman, and I hate Breshad Perriman from his time on the Ravens. So I'm willing to give Justin Watson a shot. I might give him a shot in South Fishbowl. It's getting crazy.
Wow, that's bold. How do you like the scoring potential in this game? Touchdowns being a premium.
I mean, come on. Anytime is Jameis Winston out there and it's the Buccaneers, there will be touchdowns scored. Yeah. It's not really.
Yeah, it should be a ripping game for, because I think the Lions, the Buccaneers are beatable downfield too. So that could be a wild one as well. Texans at Titans, 8-5, big game in the context of playoffs, of course. And the Texans, Kev, what happened? What happened last week to the Texans? Very poor performance and no real good fantasy performances either that really jump out at you. I don't think any, I can't see any names. Deshaun Watson came in 9th. DeAndre Hopkins, he's always in the top 10. He came in 5th. And I don't see anybody else. And Will Fuller is out. You know, he's kind of like the candle that just shines bright and then it gets blown out. So, I think the main guy in this game and the guy everybody's talking about is A.J. Brown. So you mentioned D.K. Metcalf. They're both from Ole Miss. So, and they're huge monster guys, you know, workout. You know, you saw that picture, right, of them from their Ole Miss days in the in the training room. Yee.
Yeah,
those guys are freaks. I mean,
this is one of the most talented wide receiver classes we've had in a while, and it's headlined by AJ Brown and Metcalf are two of the guys there, and it's almost no surprise given how physically talented they are.
Yeah, and Corey Davis. A lot of people were saying, you know, you should pick him up for the playoffs, but he's not doing anything. It's A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's a guy.
Yeah, there's almost no reason to pick up Corey Davis.
No, you're playing with fire there for your playoffs. Looks like a good game, too. It could be high scoring. Ryan Tannehill's, you know, taken over from Marcus Mariota, which brings a question. Where do you think Marcus Mariota ends up next year? He's going to be a backup somewhere, I guess. I can't see him being a number one somewhere unless some coach wants to take a chance on him, but I see him being a backup somewhere, but I think his days as a starter are pretty much over.
Yeah, I could see him either being a backup for like a really good quarterback or potentially taking over for like, or getting into a quarterback competition with a young guy, kind of like a bridge quarterback. If Philip Rivers moves on from the Chargers, I could see him in LA.
That'd be a good spot.
I see him somewhere like that. Yeah.
Come on. Dolphins at Giants, two teams that are out of it, but in games where teams are out of it, we might be seeing since Daniel Jones is week to week. And this is exactly to the point, and a lot of people were mentioning this too as well. I think even Booger made a good point. Believe it or not, Booger McFarlane made a good point. He said that the reason they made the switch to Daniel Jones is the rookie contract, you might as well, you know, use him while he's free. You got this, you know, free usage. But Eli didn't look good. Granted, the Giants are missing a lot of parts. And I don't know who you can start on the Giants. You can start Saquon Barkley, but even he is a very, he's not reliable this year. Probably along with Alvin Kamara, he's one of the two running backs you drafted high, and they just not panned out. So if you have Saquon Barkley, I guess you're starting him, but not happily.
Yeah. It's one of those times, there's the talent, you know, the talent wins out at the end of the day. Like, you're going to start those guys almost no matter what. But yeah, it's been a disappointing season for them.
But for the Dolphins side, like, a lot of people were banking on Devontae Parker, and I knew he would crash and burn.
Oh, he got hurt.
Oh, yeah, right. He got, yeah.
They got hurt mid first quarter.
Yeah, hard to really blame. Well, that's I know. I guess that's bad way of putting it. But he crashed out of the game. So. And that's a bit disappointing. I mean, because it's kind of like the Seahawks. Is there any Giants that you particularly like in this game? What with is Darius Slayton the guy?
That's the guy. Yep, Darius Slayton. Give me Darius Slayton against the Dolphins. I'll even take Golden Tate. Sterling Shepard probably not so much, but
he might not be playing again.
So. Yeah, but give me Darius Slayton. That guy's good. Whether it's Jones or it's Eli, he's pretty good.
Is there anybody we can start on the Dolphins?
Oh, Patrick Liard. That's the guy.
really?
Patrick Liard. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The guy is, he's playing the majority of the snaps there. He's catching balls. He's not a great, he's a running back three, you know. If you need him, he's startable, I think. He gets the majority of the snaps, like I said, probably good for probably 56 yards rushing. And then he catches balls too. And in half PPR, if he catches five balls, that's pretty valuable.
Hey, Seahawks.
And Allen Hurns. Allen Hurns is, by default, somehow back into the fold.
Right. Seahawks at Panthers. We're looking at a bit of a down week for, well, not a bit of a, quite a down week for Russell Wilson. The Rams always play tough against the Seahawks, so I sort of half expected them to lose that game, but... I do think I do think Russell Wilson will bounce back. He's definitely lost the MVP, I think, to Lamar Jackson. I don't think there's any way back for Russell Wilson to get back into that race now. I think Lamar Jackson has it, but that doesn't mean that Russell Wilson won't put in the effort. But without Rashad Penny, it's all Chris Carson now, and I think if you own Chris Carson, you've got a bell cow deluxe.
That's a good way of putting it. Chris Carson's stats with and without Rashad Penny are ridiculous. He's I think he's over 22 average points without Rashad Penny, and they don't really have a third guy who they really turn to. I think Procise is their guy. I mean, it's going to be the Chris Carson show.
Yeah,
and I think Russell Wilson, they're
keeping Travis Homer, I think, on further returns.
Yeah. I mean, he might get some snaps, but it's nothing I would really bank on. And since, Wilson's been good, but he's kind of been hit or miss. He's had a lot of huge games, but since week six, he's got one game over 39 points, and every other game he's been under 18. I wouldn't count Russell Wilson out in any means. Like, he could always go off, but he's not exactly like a fantasy stud that, you know,
that he like was. No, he's definitely fallen off since the first eight games. But he can sure put him up. But one thing I've been kind of concerned about, like on the Panthers side, though, is Christian McCaffrey. They might scale back his workload since the Panthers are out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing that is optimistic for him is that he has personal records to look at. So he might insist on being, and that's the only thing that you're kind of hanging on, because I think if Christian McCaffrey was well outside the yards from scrimmage or rushing title, I think the Panthers would start mothballing him a little bit. What with the coaching change and all coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I think McCaffrey is someone who that definitely applies. At the same time, like, even if they curtail his work, like, he's such a good player and they use him in so many different ways that I'm not sure it matters too much. Like, he hit 12 targets and he caught 11 of them last week. Like, that's an insane efficiency. And it's just such a good floor for fantasy.
Yeah. And that's why when he doesn't score touchdowns, you still get yourself a level week out of it.
Yeah, he basically has like a quarterback floor, like a 20-point floor.
Yeah. Bears at Packers. Before we get into the fantasy side of it, are the Packers do the Packers belong in the a lot of this is the question that people come up that's come up, and that is whether or not the Packers at 10-3, just because they're 10-3 doesn't mean they're an elite team. Are they an elite team? Are they true Super Bowl threat?
I would say no. I mean, it just seems like every time they have like a good opponent or like they have this chance to make a statement, they don't play an impressive game. You know, like they completely face planted against the Niners. Yeah, it's just, it doesn't have the feel of like a, like when you watch them, it doesn't feel like they're a dominant team. They couldn't put the Redskins away this weekend. What do you think? You're the Packers fan.
Well, that was my concern too. I just don't think they can put away teams. And like you say, scoring 8 points to, 45-8 against the Niners. And it was like, gee, this isn't Aaron Rodgers. This, he's not getting the protection. And not only that, Rodgers usually can break contain and rush out of the pocket for, because, I mean, he's okay with his legs, too. But he's not quite as good as he has been in years past. Like, even just last year, he was starting to, but I don't know, the injuries are starting to pile up. The age is coming. I can feel it that the Packers, you know, he's starting to become, he's starting to get in that old zone, which is not good to see. But, Aaron Rodgers was always Aaron Rodgers. He was always going to be a threat, and he could come on. The team could come on. I think the problem with the Packers is that they've never had that true number two emerge. They just don't have, I mean, Lazard has been picking it up. But there's no wide receiver too you can really trust in fantasy apart from Davante Adams this year. Last year you could trust Geronimo Allison to a point, but in fantasy, if you're trusting Lazard, it's kind of hit or miss with that. And even with Davante Adams, what with the running game as it is, and Aaron Jones, they're throwing to him a lot and he's getting touchdowns. And that's kind of taken away the touchdown count from Davante Adams and not only that, it's taking away from Aaron Rodgers too, because the running game is doing so well, because Jamal Williams he's having a good year himself. And this has kind of taken away fantasy points from Aaron Rodgers, because all Aaron Rodgers has to do to get the touchdown is just hand it off to Williams or Aaron Jones or throw it to them. But he usually hands it off and they're doing the job, what they're supposed to do, and that's score touchdowns when they get the ball inside the red zone, like inside the 10. So, and that of course hurts, the receivers, especially Davante Adams. But on the good side, Davante Adams still getting the targets, still getting the receptions, still getting the yardage. So he's okay, as long as he's healthy. And he had a bit of turf toe this year, but, we're all pretty good. As for the Bears side of things, you can't trust Trubisky. You don't know what's going to happen when they visit Green Bay. You can't trust David Montgomery. David Montgomery was one of my kind of sleeper picks, a guy that would take you into the playoffs. I mean, now he's a rookie guy that they just threw out there, you know, but he hasn't really shown a lot. He's shown some sparks, but I don't know what it is about the Bears. They're just, they're not quite there. But I do like Anthony Miller emerging. I think he's a good starter for fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, I think you can trust him in fantasy playoffs. I'm not a big fan of the Bears offense. Something about them just kind of, I think it might be the coach there kind of rubs me the wrong way. Seems like he's just trying to get too cute with it. But yeah, Anthony Miller is a pretty good play against the Packers defense. I'm not really particularly scared of him.
Yeah, Matt Nagy, he's not the great. Well, I will say this: he's better than Adam Gase for the Jets, you know, by far.
That's not saying much.
Well, no, it isn't. But just, I don't know. To me, they're kind of similar kind of guys. Here we go. This one's for Jono. Patriots at Bengals. This is pretty much Patriots have to make a statement here. Obviously, start all your Patriots. That are left on the field. That is, I think Jacoby Myers and Kale Harry, it's a bit too soon for him, but Jacoby Myers, it's not too soon for him. I like Jacoby Myers as a sleeper this week.
Okay. I go the other way. I like N'Keal Harry. I mean, I think he should have had that touchdown. That was a definite touchdown. Terrible call by the refs.
Yeah.
I actually like N'Keal Harry because I think he plays the kind of big body role in the red zone that they kind of need, that they've been missing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Whereas Jacoby Myers is kind of a finesse type of player.
Right. I mean, I think like they can move the ball down the field with James White and Jacoby Myers. I think they're good for that. But I think as soon as they need to go get in the end zone, that's where they're hitting a little bit of a struggle. And I think that's where Harry can help out a little.
Sony Michel?
Sony Michel is not good at football.
Sony Michel isn't. Joe Mixon's good at football, though. Think he'll give a spark to the Bengals side of things? Is there any hope for it? Can we start any Bengals in this game?
I think Mixon is the only one. And I think it's, you start a talented running back, and no matter what the matchup is, it's kind of can't really do anything about it. I wouldn't really bank on too much because it is the Patriots. It's a bad offense and the Patriots good defense. That being said, Mixon is the focal point of that offense. Andy Dalton's competent. He'll be able to move the ball a little bit. And I think Mixon, I mean, what you're basically hoping for is something like 100 total yards, whether it's through the, and he catches the ball. So that's good. 100 total yards and you pray for a touchdown.
Yeah. Bengals, they go from famine to feast because they'll play Miami next week. So, I kind of predict John Ross will go off in week 16. So I think John Ross will be a great start. Hang on to John Ross for your week 16 final if you want to pull off a shocker, because I think he's the big I think he goes off against the Dolphins. Not this week, but they eased him back in last week, kind of expected after coming off IR, but I think it'll come together for him, and I think the Bengals will have a good show against the Dolphins. But next week is next week. Eagles at Redskins. Boston Scott had a big game. He actually sparked the Eagles, such as they were. They were absolutely awful, but they came away with the win, which is all they had to do against the Giants. I mean, they barely won, but they did it. We talked a little bit about the Eagles. Miles Sanders couldn't do anything. It was just, I don't know, just awful. But against the Redskins, poor run defense, so could be a better day for Miles Sanders. And Jordan Howard might be back, so. But I think Boston Scott has earned some backfield time because of what he did against the Giants. So I don't know whether they ease Jordan Howard back in, or Jordan Howard resumes his sort of bell cow draw play split with Miles Sanders or what. But do you think people are rushing out to get Boston Scott? But I think they need to hold their horses there.
Yeah, I think it's a crowded backfield, and you know, Boston Scott's nice and he put up some numbers, but that was kind of in like a scramble situation where they had so many guys go down that week or that game that I don't think they anticipated using Boston Scott like that. And I think as they're healthier, they're not going to use him like that. They don't want to use him like that.
What about on the Redskins? Now, Darius Geis is hurt. A guy who was starting to moving on up. You know, he was moving up. I think he was on our moving on up last week, but he's falling off the wagon again. So is there anybody we can start on the Redskins with Dwayne Haskins?
I think the two guys that I'm looking at, Adrian Peterson, I think you just got to give him a go. It is what it is. Yeah, he's old. Yeah, whatever. But the Eagles are, again, not to be feared, really. The other guy is Terry McLaurin. He's been bad. I mean, there's no other way to say it. He's been bad with Dwayne Haskins on your center. But the Eagles matchup, I mean, we saw what Darius Slayton did to them. The Eagles have given up the fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers this season, and they've given up just huge games to wide receiver ones. Darius Slayton had 154, two touchdowns last week. Devontae Parker, 159, two touchdowns the week before. Stephon Diggs had 167, three touchdowns. Devontae Adams had 108 yards. Julio, 106, two touchdowns. Marvin Jones, 101 and a touchdown. And Terry McLaurin, actually, I didn't even see this. Terry McLaurin had 125 and a touchdown in week one against the same team. So Philly, is their secondary is terrible. So I think Terry McLaurin is actually a good start this week.
Even with Dwayne Haskins under center, huh?
Yeah, even with Dwayne Haskins under center, I think you give him a shot. Like McLaurin is, he's still going to get, you know, 5 to 7, 8 targets maybe. He's caught a touchdown last week. Outside of Carolina in week 13, he's averaged about 65 yards with Haskins. So it's not terrible. I mean, with a good matchup, I think you bump him up to about the wide receiver 4 range.
Browns. I did one thing about the Eagles. Oh yeah, we kind of touched on this with Alshon Jeffrey anyway. We know that we touched on the wide receivers. You don't need to hash that out over again. But anyways, Browns 6-7 at Cardinals. Browns still with a very, very outside chance of making the playoffs. Browns are just, I don't know, they're still the Browns. They have that. They still have the personality of the old Browns, the Hugh Jackson Browns. Or something like, it's almost like, you know, it's sort of like a fart that somebody had 5 minutes ago and it's still hanging in the air.
Jesus.
I know.
All right. You can go with that. Why not?
Well, why not? I mean, it's the best analogy I could come up with on short notice. But the Browns, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. There's a cloud over the Browns. It's just, they have all the parts. They have all the parts and all the makings of a good team, but they're not a good football team. They've got all the parts of being a good football team, but they're not a good football team. The guy I like on the Browns is, believe it or not, Kareem Hunt. Of all the guys that's really showing up is Kareem Hunt. Since he's come back from his suspension, he's just been putting up flex numbers. I mean, you can start him in your fantasy playoffs. Like, if you got a flex spot, you could start him, especially against the Cardinals, who are not looking that great, to be honest. So I don't know what your thoughts. I'll talk about the Cardinals after you put in your 2 cents about the Browns.
Well, I hated your analogy. I get what you. Everything seems to, they just keep kind of getting in their own way. Like, they had I think they won last week, right? Yeah, they won last week, but for whatever reason, Baker Mayfield comes out and criticizes the way they handled Odell's injury, which is strange. Yeah, I don't know. They just constantly get in their own way, and it's a little disappointing because they should be a decent fantasy team.
I think my analogy was that they sort of still stink.
Yeah, they do. I can't really just say anything about that.
But do you like Kareem Hunt?
Yeah, Kareem Hunt. He's good. He hasn't really taken away from Nick Chubb, which is I appreciate that, but he's good. You know, just he's the pass catching back there, but he still offers a little bit of upside on the ground as well. Or I guess I should say the other way. He does well on the ground, but he offers more of the pass catching upside, which is something that offense kind of lacked, since they traded Duke Johnson. And yeah, he works out. He's flexible, like you said, but probably not much more than that.
Well, I think he's more flexible than a guy like who's in a similar role like Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, I think just because Kareem Hunt has they use him in the red zone a lot, so he has touchdown upside. Kareem Hunt or Tariq Cohen really has no touchdown upside.
Yeah. Now looking at the Cardinals side of it, looks like that they pass the ball. They're letting Kyler Murray just throw, but he's Kyler Murray. He can have a good game now and again, scoring wise. They're still not winning games. You get these long stretches of Christian Kirk with Christian Kirk has one big blow up game, and then all of a sudden he just goes back in the tank. This is the one thing about it. I remember you showing me this video. I just want to talk about the backfield more in this case. I know David Johnson got a touchdown last week, but that was the first time he's done anything for weeks. But I don't know. It sticks in my head that one play that you showed me about him. Where he broke to the outside, and it was just so slow and plodding, that break to the outside. It was just no move or anything. He's not the David Johnson that we're used to seeing anymore. I think this is a Kenyon Drake backfield.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to. I mean, Kenyon Drake's been the starter, but he's not someone I want to play anyways. That being said, you know, he's the starter, so therefore he's going to get the most value by default. But either way, like you said, I'm not interested in it at all. I think the only players on the Cardinals offense I'm interested in are him or Kyler and then Christian Kirk, who's just been a target monster. Other than that, I'm kind of staying away from that running back backfield.
Yeah, and I think Christian Kirk could have a good game against the Browns. The Browns are pretty beatable. I think the Cardinals could even pull off an upset because Kyler Murray and I don't know, Baker Mayfield. He's come on. I have to will say that Baker Mayfield's come on. Of course, against the Bengals, how can you not, you know, do better?
Sure.
So anyways, Jaguars at Raiders. Jaguars are a total mess. Raiders messy, but not as much in a mess. Josh Jacobs out. Looks like he's day to day. He looks like he's going to be probably back for this game, so no need to rush out and chase the points with Washington. So the only bright spot on the Jaguars, I think, right now is that Gardner Minshew is in there, and Nick Foles got pulled. So at least if you have DJ Chark Reed Westbrook, you have a chance. And against the Raiders, I like the Jaguars' chances. So D.D. Westbrook and D.J. Chark, yeah, you could start them. Leonard Fournette had a down game just at the right time for week 14 of the first week of fantasy playoffs, which a lot of people were howling in anger about that because he had a good week the previous week in week 13. But it is what it is. I like the Jaguars against the Raiders. And as for the Raiders themselves, well, I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, the Raiders are hard to figure out. I mean, their receiving options are not good. Derek Carr has not been very good. That being said, whoever the running back is, whether it's Josh Jacobs, DeAndre Washington, you're going to start them. And then Darren Waller is startable. So, like, it's very easy to make decisions on the Raiders. Like, they either start them or you don't start them. There's almost no consideration to be given.
Pure matchup-based team. Though, Derek Carr, I do believe... No, I'm going to just check at the bottom of the thing. I think Derek Carr, no, he didn't make the top 10, but Derek Carr was ahead of a lot of quarterbacks last week. But against the Jaguars, yeah, this is a good matchup for the Raiders. I do believe Tyrell Williams, is he out again or is he back in?
I think he played.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, like, it's, I don't know how excited I am to start Tyrell Williams.
No.
Yeah, he played. He had 35 yards. I'm not starting Tyrell Williams.
Yeah, Darren Waller's about the only one guy that's safe-ish with touchdown and red zone potential. And again, Josh Jacobs, you can start him if he's ready to play. He's obviously got a go-to guy. He's been good this year. So, but he's been playing with a bad shoulder all year, or fractured shoulder as it was all year. But plenty they would come out with that. But
was it really a fracture?
I believe so. I believe it was actually how severe the fracture. Obviously, it's not that severe. Otherwise, he wouldn't be in there at all. Could be a hairline thing or something like that.
I feel like a fractured shoulder is severe, no matter how you look at it.
That's the way I looked at it, too. But apparently, you know, I did a double take myself when I thought, is this really a fracture?
Yeah.
I think that's wild. Fracture. You can check me on that, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't know. NFL players are crazy, man.
So we see. I want to get this right because if I'm getting it mixed up with another player, I don't want to do that and pass along to our listeners bad information because of my poor memory skills. So I'll just get that up for us right now. Josh Jacobs, here we are. I could see a lot of people listening to the podcast and saying, "You idiot! You should brush up on your stuff before you get on the show." God, we can't remember everything. Josh Jacobs to be inactive due to his shoulder injury. He was a game time decision. A broken shoulder. Yeah, he's played through his broken shoulder and since initially injuring it in week 7.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. So there you are. So my memory isn't that bad. Falcons at 49ers, going against the big boys. 49ers at home. Obviously, start the 49ers, defense. Matt Ryan is bound to throw it into the hands of the opposition. It's quite in a game like this because they're going to be chasing this game. I really feel, and, I don't know. It's another year where this is, I'll be talking about this, well, if we're running out of time, perhaps, because once we get talking about fantasy, Kev, we just lather on about stuff. It's my concerns about Julio Jones, as usual, and the fantasy points you're trying to scrape for in the playoffs. Here's Julio Jones. Again, no touchdowns since week 3, as usual. You know, you really, I like Julio Jones and everything, but in fantasy football, you need a receiver who gets the touchdowns. I know he's a great receiver, and he is. And now they're playing San Francisco, and if you own him, you're starting him in your fantasy playoffs. But Kev, he's just a guy that's very, very, a very tough start.
Yeah, it's crazy to say that about Julio Jones, but given the matchup and his performance, he is a tough start. That being said, like we've said before, talent, you know, you start your talented players and you just hope for the best. I follow a guy on Twitter, shout out Coley, who had, I think he started Julio and Devontae Adams and had Emmanuel Sanders and AJ Brown on his bench.
Oh.
It's just, it's, that's just how it goes sometimes.
Hang on a sec. Off we go. Right. As for the 49ers side of things, Garoppolo had a big game against the Saints, as we know. Big shootout game. This could be another shootout, don't you think?
Yeah. I didn't know the Niners had it in them. I thought they were more with defense. I mean, the thing is, I think the Falcons offense isn't good enough. I think the Niners are going to stifle them. And I think it's not going to be a high scoring game. It might be on the Niners side. It could get hilarious. The Kyle Shanahan revenge game. But Niners at home. I mean, coming off an emotional win, I could see some of that playing in, but I think they're too good, and I think, they're right in the thick of things. They can't afford to lose a game. I don't see them losing this game to the Falcons, and I don't see the Falcons scoring a lot.
No, and Raheem Mostert, Mostert. I did this last week. Mostert, the Mostert.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be weird because you never you never know what the Niners are going to do with their backfield, but I think at this point, Mostert's kind of set himself aside, right?
I think it's hot hand. I think it's a hot hand backfield. That's what it is. Who's ever got the hot hand? If it's Coleman, if it's Breda. Breda's always injured, though. So the thing is that if you start Breda, well, he's going to go down in the first quarter. He's going to go down in the second quarter. So you're really taking a risk if you start Breda. I think Breda is the scariest start. You got to hope that Breda scores a touchdown before he gets hurt in the game or something like that. It's been like that all season long. He gets dinged up and then he's out for a game and then he's back, or two or three or, concussions, whatnot at all. I don't know. It comes down to, but obviously, Emmanuel Sanders, he could be out. He could be in for another big game.
Yeah.
So he's kind of the fantasy star of the season. Rams, at Cowboys. This is a real test for the Cowboys. Now, This is the game that Jerry Jones is like talking about, like gotta beat a team that's an over 500 team, and this is Rams, as such as they are. They've had a rough year, but the Rams have pulled it together, through their troubles. Like Jared Goff's starting to look a little bit better, but Jared Goff's nowhere near the Jared Goff last year still, but he's better in recent weeks. And Robert Woods has picked it up. And I think they're going back to the offense that they did last year that they started having. I think they stuck with the Cooper Kupp idea too long, and it came back to bite them because teams started preparing that way. But the Rams kept going with it because it was a winning formula. So that you're talking about the Browns getting in their own way. I think the Rams sort of did the same thing a little bit by not changing it up and going back to their the Robert Woods formula and having Cooper Kupp as the secondary guy, because I think they relied too much on Cooper Kupp in the WR run role. He didn't quite fit that scheme, but now they go ahead.
I think the important thing is that the Rams have gotten back to they've gotten a couple guys healthy on their offensive line. That was a huge part of their success last season, and they've really handed Todd Gurley the ball a lot more. So yeah. That combined has kind of gotten back to their old tricks. It's made things easier for Jared Goff, and that's what we want to see. So I think it's I think the Rams are kind of back to their old tricks.
Yeah, they are, and so I've noticed that they're doing quite well. But I do think the Cowboys. You got to start your Cowboys in this game because the Rams are beatable downfield. So I look for a good game for Amari Cooper and company on there, and of course you've always got Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield. And that's what really helps the Cowboys and Dak Prescott is when Ezekiel is running well. But it just seems like if Amari Cooper isn't healthy, which he's kind of not been healthy, I think this plantar fascia thing, whatever he's had, I think it's been bothering him all season. He hasn't been quite right. I mean, yeah, he's been a WR1 in a lot of games. He's been just terrific getting away from the Raiders. It was the best career move that ever happened for him, that the Cowboys traded for him. They traded a lot for him too, and they did well, but I don't know how they're going to pay him next year, but that's another story. But this is the game the Cowboys really want to show that they can beat a team. So they'll put in the effort, but whether they can come through, I don't know. I mean, the Seahawks had troubles with the Rams defense, and Russell Wilson's no slouch at quarterback. So I mean, if you think Dak Prescott has slightly better receivers than Russell Wilson, I would say slightly. But I don't know. Having said that, Tyler Lockett's been shut down, but I don't know, thoughts on this Rams game, the Cowboys side of things?
I think the Rams, again, not a defense I'm avoiding it any way. I think it should be another shootout game, to be honest, high-scoring game. I don't see why not. The Cowboys, I think I saw a stat on Twitter that they're since 2000, they are the fourth most yards per game, but they score like pretty much an average team, 25 points a game, or all the other teams that average that many. We're talking about like the 20, what was it? The undefeated Patriots. What was that? 2007, 8? Those Patriots, the Peyton crazy year where he had 55 touchdowns, like the Chiefs, like they get yardage on par with those teams, but they don't score as much. So, I don't know what that says about their play calling or whatever, but the point is that they can move the ball on whoever. And I think the Rams, if they're back to their old tricks, when they play, it should be a high scoring game.
Yeah. Vikings at Chargers. There was a funny video of, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see it? The Philip Rivers after he threw that 90-yard touchdown to Austin Eckler. It was he got pulled up by the Jaguars defender, and he says 90 yards, to just shouting it in his ear, 90 yards, shouting it right in this big guy's ear, right? And just, I mean, he was lucky he didn't get decked. Like Philip Rivers puts his life in his hands. So, of course, you know, the defender was smart and he didn't get unsportsmanlike conduct. He could have easily, but I mean, even the ref was saying, gee, that's kind of, you know, you're playing with fire there, Philip Rivers, you know, big dude, but I don't know. It was funny, but, Philip Rivers, yeah. This could be a shootout type of game. Vikings, Kirk Cousins could get his arm going in LA. It's in LA, so it should be, Chargers have got nothing to lose. So, I want to hold my hand up and say to people, like, I was kind of down on Austin Eckler because of the rise of, I wasn't expecting the rise of Melvin Gordon to be so much. And I saw Austin Eckler starting to slowly, disappear. So I automatically assumed that I can see the trend going towards, a little more and more and more towards Melvin Gordon. But, as football does, Eckler exploded. So I guess he's startable, isn't he, Kev?
Yeah, I mean, shoot, I don't know what's going on with the Chargers. Eckler at times seems like one of the best backs in the league, and yet they keep going away from him. But that being said, like you said, you saw his upside. I think you start him again this week and just, I don't know, just hope that they know what they're doing out there.
Yeah, and no worries about Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is fine. Everybody was a little bit thought that he would get scaled back because he's having this back problem. It is a bit of a concern, but if the Vikings are putting him out there and playoffs are at stake, you can bet that Dalvin Cook will get full workload. No worries. A lot of people were rushing out to get Madison. I think you should still own Madison, but he's not as urgent as it seemed last week, so everybody can just calm down about Dalvin Cook. He's fine. He'll put him up, and the Vikings aren't going to. They're in playoff mode right now, and there are teams breathing down their necks right now. So they really need to win. Like especially the Rams. The Rams are coming on strong, and the Vikings really need to win. But the Chargers are in spoiler mode, and they have other ideas. So I like you starting all your Vikings in this game. So I don't think we are going to see anything of no, I don't even have him on the list here. He could be out for the I don't have him on the list. I think the guy is still Stephon Diggs.
Oh, definitely. I mean, with Adam Thielen out, you have to roll out Diggs.
Yeah. So no worries about Diggs with Adam Thielen. I think Adam Thielen is he out for the season?
I think he'll be back for the playoffs. Or at least maybe even next week, but I think he might be, it's week to week with him.
Yeah. Colts Saints. I think this is our Monday night game. And Monday nights have been not too bad lately. This is a pretty good matchup actually. Saints looking to get back on track after a loss, and again this could be one of your shootout games. Well, with Marshawn Lattimore out, we've talked about that. Marcus. Where did that name come from? Marcus Davenport. Lattimore is another guy. he just got back from injury. I'm not sure if Lattimore is out. But, anyways, he's another guy on the Saints. But the Colts, They have Marlon Mack back from his hand injury. But I wasn't that weird, that little two-game stint with Jonathan Williams for the Colts? I mean, people, you know, suddenly he's droppable. Like, you drop him like a stone. He was good for a couple of games. Now he's gone. So it's one of those weird things you see in fantasy football where, you know, a guy comes in, just does the job. How you feel about this game? Obviously, a game where the Saints are going to get under track. Do you like this one as a shootout too?
I mean, I feel like we're saying that about every single game. But to be honest, this one, I don't know. I don't think the Colts offense, I think they should have some success, but I don't think it'll get turned up to a shootout. I think it'll just be, you know, your average 24-21, 24-27 type game.
Are you trusting Zach Pascal?
Yeah. The Saints give up the third most points to wide receivers. If T.Y. Hilton is out, with Paris Campbell going down to, give me Zach Pascal.
All right. And I guess, a lot of no-brainers, but, you know, I talked about Alvin Kamara. Is this the game that we're going to see Alvin Kamara show up?
I don't know. To be honest, who knows? I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know why the Saints aren't using him like they should. But if you have him, you're playing him and just hope for the best.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Because everyone's talking about, like, one of the first things I saw on Twitter was that a game with 96 total points in it, like, against the – and Alvin Kamara had, like, what, 4 fantasy points in a game like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Strange season, man.
Strange season. All right, well, we're running a little bit late, but it was good to get some good fantasy, because, I mean, this is kind of an important week, so I don't mind going over a little bit. But I've talked about our panic button guys. My panic button guys, of course, is Le'Veon Bell, and not because of the bowling thing. I want to make that clear right now. It's just that Le'Veon Bell, I just don't think there's a little bit more problem. I don't think he's playing for the Jets next year. I think they're going to move on from him, or he's going to move on from them. It's one of those things. For him to go out bowling and stuff like that, mine's not on football with the Jets, obviously. I mean, I don't know what their players' lives are like and everything, but I don't know. It just, when I hear about the thing like the bowling story and the way the season has gone for him, and people not getting the fantasy value they kind of expected from him, which I did. I didn't expect he'd be a valuable player, but I'm not trusting him in the fantasy playoffs. I'm not trusting him in this next game against the Ravens for sure, obviously. So he's my panic button. Are you ready with your panic button? You want me to give my second one that I've already mentioned about? Because it'll be very brief.
You can go ahead.
All right, well, I'm gonna revert. My other panic button is Julio Jones. You have to start him, as we mentioned, in the game. The fantasy points are just not there. He needs a touchdown. And against the 49ers, oh, what a rough start. But targets are there. Calvin Ridley out might help, but I think it actually kind of helps somebody like Russell Gage. He's actually a sleeper. So there we are. Anybody you're panicking on, Kev?
So guy I'm panicking on, Tyler Lockett. I know he's coming back from injury, so it's kind of hard to blame him for, you know, being disappointing. But that being said, if you take out, I mean, Lockett is, you know, gets a lot of hype for being a wide receiver one. I think he was drafted wide receiver something like 14 this season, and he's put up pretty good stats this season. But if you look deeper, he's got 2 games where he combined for 60 points basically, and outside of that, he hasn't scored over 14.5 points in any game. So he's consistent. He won't kill you, but he's not really doing much. Last 4 games, he's totaled just over 15 total points. So not exactly getting it done. Going into the stretch run for the playoffs, he's got 2 really good matchups at at Carolina, and then home versus Arizona. I think you play him, but I'm worried about him.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
A guy that we've talked about a little bit. I mean, he's quarterback. What is this? Quarterback 7 on the season, which is kind of surprising. But Kyler Murray, back-to-back games under 15 fantasy points. He just kind of looks, and I hate to say it because this is the draft knock on him, he just looks small. Like,
he is.
He's 5'10". Yeah, I mean, that's why I hate to say it, because it seems like I don't want to be the guy who just, you know, says, you know, he's not good because he's small. But if he's not rushing, he's actually not that great of a passer. He's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games with 0 passing touchdowns this season. And then in every other game, he's had multiple. So he's very inconsistent. I don't
really know how I feel about him against Cleveland this week. Cleveland's defense isn't great, but he's not playing well either. So it almost comes down to, is he going to be able to run the ball, or is he going to get some rushing yards on them? And that would float his floor a little bit. But for the QB7 to not be a like clear-cut starter in the fantasy in week 15 of the fantasy season is a little bit worrisome.
Just here's a trivia question. Who's the next shortest after Kyler Murray?
In the NFL right now?
Yeah.
Is it not Russell?
It's Russell. Hey. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. You should be on Jeopardy. Anyway, moving on up. Drew Locke has got a good connection with Noah Fant. I like Noah Fant now for your fantasy playoffs. He's really coming on. Drew Locke has been finding him. I would even say moving on up, Drew Locke. Because Drew Locke is, I would even say, would you try Drew Locke in DFS, Kev?
In DFS, I would have to see the price, but maybe. I mean, I don't know. The Chiefs defense has been playing really well. I'll just say that.
Right. Even in the secondary?
Even in the secondary, the Chiefs defense is a good unit somehow. I don't know how it happened, but they're pretty good. Holding Tom Brady to whatever they did, it's not as good as it used to be, but, they've been playing well. And I think the week before they played, and who did they play the week before that they did really well against too?
I haven't got it.
I want to say the Chargers. No, they played. So they played Brady last week, held them 12 points and one touchdown. Derek Carr the week before, one touchdown as well, two interceptions. Phillip Rivers the week before that, one touchdown, four picks. And then, you know, they up until that point, they weren't great. But if you go back and look at their log, they get kind of, outside of these last three games, they kind of get shredded by good quarterbacks, like Deshaun Watson at 280 and a touchdown, but two picks too. Stafford, 291 and three touchdowns. Rodgers, 305, three touchdowns. Kirk Cousins, 202, 220, three touchdowns. But against a quote-unquote bad quarterback like Drew Locke, you know, I'm not worried about starting the Kansas City defense against Drew Locke.
No.
Especially because Drew Locke, he came out, he was okay in his week against the Chargers, but last week, honestly, was not a real game. I don't know what happened with the Texans, but I think you take that result and you can throw it out the window because the Texans didn't come to play.
No, I suppose not. But, I mean, results still are results, right? I mean, I hate this. You take away this touchdown. I mean, what are we going to do? Take away Eckler's touchdown? You know what I mean? The score still stands. I mean, I guess if you're looking for you take away the worst performance. I guess the thing is, what you should do, if you're going to take away a big play, you got to take away a worst play as well.
Well, I'm not trying to take plays away or anything like that. I just, do you think Drew Locke is 309? I mean, it's the Daniel Jones thing. Like,
it is.
Have one great game. Like, you can't really judge him off of the one great game. Probably easier to judge him off of, he's a second round, third round pick who's a rookie starting in his third NFL game. Like, I'd rather judge him like that.
But you're right, because Daniel Jones started going down because defenses start examining the video, right?
Yeah, that's a thing too.
And so there's not a lot of video on Drew Locke, so defenses aren't as prepared. So now defenses, that's why Daniel Jones started declining, because they knew his weakness is that he's loose with the football. So what do? Defenses say, go after his loose hand. When he's loose with the football, go after it. And what are they doing? They're getting success from that. So that's what they do. Defenses, they watch the film and they know the weaknesses. They know how to get them. Those coaches are pretty smart. My other guy, of course, I've mentioned him, is O.J. Howard, only for the fact that Mike Evans is out and there's really nobody else behind him. I mean, you mentioned Perryman. I'm not too keen on him, but I think this is, like you say, these are the guys that tend to shine that you've drafted him, but I don't know, he's worth a try. He's still a nervous try because of, I don't know what it is about Bruce Arians. He's kind of like, he's not like Andy Reid, but in some respects, he's kind of cranky about players. So he's so quick to put guys in the doghouse, like Ronald Jones the other day, the other week. So and you can't trust Bruce Arians' teams for fantasy, but except for the main players. So, but I still say OJ Howard's moving on up. And if you want to, he's very startable in your, considering how tight ends have been up and down and all on all around. So, who you got?
For moving on up, just another tight end, Tyler Higbee. Back-to-back games with 7 targets, 100 yards. Seems like he's really a part of that offense. I don't know what's going on with Cooks. I don't know why Cooks, Cup is having such a small target snap share. But, I mean, while it's going, like, I'm going to start Higbee in one of my playoff matchups this week. You know, might as well. If the numbers are there, it's kind of hard for me to deny them.
Yeah, I like him. With Gerald Everett out, he's just soared.
Yep. And my other guy is someone that everyone knows is moving on up, but A.J. Brown, can't say enough about him. He's just a monster. He has a good rapport with Tannehill. He's clearly a cut above everyone else in that wide receiving core. So, yeah.
Yeah, A.J. Brown, yeah, part of the meat package from Ole Miss with D.K. Metcalf, right? Those guys have got meat on them, man. Did you see that picture with the between him and, like, comparison to Chris Collinsworth in his rookie year?
No, I didn't.
It was hilarious. Like, Chris Collinsworth looks like kind of like a 90-pound weakling. Like, and Chris Collinsworth was a great receiver in his day, but I don't know. These days, you know, the guys with meat are the guys you want. Like, in goodness sakes, they sure know how. They sure make them dig out of Ole Miss, that's for sure. So I'll be any. They probably. I don't know what it is. They got a good training facility around there, anyway. Yeah, prime meat. Brown and Metcalf. They're going to, I tell you one thing, next year, Brown and Metcalf are going to be sought after fantasy targets big time. Big time. Agree?
Definitely. I mean, I think the whole wide receiver class, like you get the second year bump, they're already so impressive rookies. Mm. That second year bump is going to be good.
What's your thoughts, though, on the other rookie, Hollywood? How do you feel about Hollywood? Does he belong in the class of greats?
He's a talented playmaker. I just think he's not probably as far advanced as them, and it might be because they don't need him to be. Like the Ravens, as good as they are, only throw the ball 20 times a game, and probably half of those go to tight ends. So, you know, Hollywood in another offense might be more consistent, but right now he's almost like a boom bust option.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. I prefer AJ over Hollywood. Definitely. Of the Browns, so to speak. Anyways, that is our show, ladies and gentlemen. A long, long episode, but I think it was well worth it because we are in fantasy semifinals. Want to say a shout out to our good friend Jonathan Chan once again. Hopefully he'll be back for when we do our season wrap-ups and our awards ceremonies and so forth with our fantasy awards. I like the fantasy awards show, don't you, Kev?
Yeah, it's one of our best of the year.
Yeah, so that'll be coming up after the playoffs. But we're getting into Christmas time, so we hopefully will keep steady on the shows for our fantasy people. So thank you for joining us for Coming Whole. I'm Richard Seville of FantasySixPack.net. Join us again next week in the finals week on the Fantasy Edge. Take care, everybody, and good luck.